case you haven't noticed, we're in a huge fight right now. We're in a fight. We're in a fight. We're in a fight not only physically, but emotionally. We're in a fight for our values. And so we believe as a church that God is doing something bigger than the local body. He's doing something in the world today. And as he's doing something in the world today, we have to be ready to understand that we are in a battle. We're on the battlefield. And what we speak and what we preach about is not very easy in this house, because we believe that we serve a real God who died for real people. And the reality of it is that people are going through, they're going through dissension. They're going through some cutting. God's cutting some stuff away. They're going through some trauma. There's some tension because they're in the heat of the battle. And the enemy is just daring them to quit. Just quit. Just quit. And you have to make up in your mind whether or not you're going to continue to go. You're going to continue to go. Because there are other people who are not going. They're not. They've already died out around you. They've already settled for less. They've already decided that passive Christianity is a way to go, that they'd rather be passive than be proactive, and you can let them do what they have to do. But you have to make a decision that if God is asking you to go over the hill and take the hill, that you're going to go, no matter what you're going to see. Because you're coming against some stuff right now that you have not seen before. This is not an enemy that is not known. We know the enemy. We've known him. But he's throwing some stuff that you have not seen. And so you're going to have to understand some things about God if you're going to fight against this enemy, because it's important that you understand what you've been given. And we're going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 6 today. Very familiar verse, but very key for where we're at right now. It says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, full, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes," because it's coming, "you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." All these things you've been given to fight in this fight. This is not a fight for people who are very tepid in their emotions. If you get your feelings hurt, you won't make it in this fight. You're not dealing with the enemy who's really concerned about your feelings. And frankly, you're not dealing with people who are concerned about your feelings. So if you have taken up the mantle of not wanting to get hurt, you've entered into the wrong relationship. Because Jesus was misunderstood. He was cast aside. He was rejected. And understands what it means to do so that he can strengthen you in your time of need. So if you're looking for a gospel that is soft, this is the wrong one. This is not a gospel that's soft. And just remembrance of this, I can remember growing up, I didn't come from here. We used to scrap. We used to be outside. We used to tell each other's moms on each other. We used to tell jokes on it. We used to rip each other up and down. That's just what we did. But we respected one another. You try to come against someone today and there's a lawsuit. Because people get their feelings hurt over the silliest things. And I began to think about the reality of the gospel and what Jesus had to endure because of what he said. And if we're more concerned about what people's response is going to be, we're going to live in fear the rest of our life. And we're not going to take the ground that God has called us to take. Remember what he said here. He said, stand. What does that word mean? It's simple. It means oppose. Stand in opposition to what's coming after you. Because there's something that's coming after you, and so your response to it is going to dictate how you come against it. So for a lot of people, what it entails is when they see trouble coming, they turn the other way because they expect if I turn the other way, it won't catch me. Guess what? Coronavirus is going to catch you whether you want to catch it or not. It's coming. It's coming. So I don't care how long you try to hide it. I don't care what you try to do to try to fix it. You're going to catch something in this life. You're going to catch it. I don't care what it is. So you might as well just lace up your shoes. That's right. Put your armor on and get in the fight and catch what you're going to catch. Because it'll help you build the strength you need in order to move on into the next level of the fight that God's bringing you in. You understand that, right? That the reason why you catch stuff is so you can learn how to deal with it and that you can be strengthened by it so you can move on. You don't catch it so it shackles you and it debilitates you so you can't do anything. You catch it so you get strength from it so you can go. That's why trials come in. They're there to build you up and strengthen you up so that you can move. Not die. But the response for a lot of people is death. They'd rather not engage it because it requires work. There's nothing in this life that's not going to require work. You're going to have to come against it. I don't care who you are. There's not something that God's going to say, you're going to avoid this one. No, you're going to have to engage it. The more you run from it, guess what? The faster it's going to come after you. Because we talk about the goodness of God coming after us, but there are some other things that like chasing you too. There are things that are chasing you right now that if you don't stop and come against it, it's going to chase you to the day you die. And it's going to run you right out of the will of God, and you're going to miss out the promises of God that he has for you and the promised land because you're so concerned about catching it. If you just turn around, stand up against it, I promise you God will help you fight it. And you'll come against it and you'll win. But if you decide that, well, I'd rather just die from it, it's your loss, it's not God's. There's one word today I want you to remember about this message, and it says, it's hold. It's hold. Hold your ground. And the ground that God has given you, hold it. Because the enemy is going to come in and try to take the ground that you already have taken. That's just what he does. So the next hill that you're going over, the enemy already has something that he's wanting to throw in order to get you sidetracked. That's what he does. That's what he does. So don't think just because you're standing good right now and I got strength right now that he's already not working on what the next thing he's going to throw at you is. Because what he does is that he likes to remind you of some of the failures and some of the things that you didn't do so well in, especially when you're doing well, just as a reminder of what it took to get you there. But you have to remind him how far you've come because he will always remind you of your past. He has nothing else because his future is already decided. So he just reminds you of how it was because he misses how it was. He can't go back. He's lost. And so he might as well take you back with him and say, remember what it was like? I do remember what it was like. And I thank Jesus for taking me from that and putting me here. And I won't bow down to anything. I won't do it because I know greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You want to fight? You got one. You got to stop, Patty. You want one? Let's go. Let's just go. Because until you engage it, nothing will change. Nothing will change. You know how bullying stops? Hey, man, guess what? I don't like what you're doing anymore. And you come against that bully and you say, listen, I'll tell you what, this is what I'm going to do in response to what you're going to do, and then see what happens. It may not work out in your favor the first time, but guess what? Respect. And I'm wondering in the body how much the enemy actually respects you. And that's a little bit of a problem because I remember in the New Testament there's a story about the seven sons of Sceva. And these people were really trying to peddle the power of the gospel for money. And they were watching Paul. And Paul was doing some supernatural stuff. And what they tried to do is they tried to evoke the power of God in the name of the God that Paul served, but they didn't know God. And the demons gave him such a beating because they said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but I don't even know you, man. And that's my concern. Does he have your respect? You see, that's the one thing about an enemy that you begin to understand a little bit. He doesn't like me. I get it. He wants me destroyed. I get it. But I'm going to give him some respect because the reality, he's taking a beating from me. And when he comes at I mean, he has to not just come at me with himself, but he has to bring a whole host with him and schemes and devices and things that he's worked up because he knows the little stuff don't work on him anymore. He's too big now. So I got to bring up some stuff. I got to bring that homosexual thing back up. I got to bring that back up, that neglect back up. I got to bring that abandonment stuff back up. We got to bring all sorts of stuff back up because he's already beaten some of the other stuff. So let's just remind him of the stuff that he's beaten and let's get him feeling sorry for himself because we can't just do one. I can't just beat him on my own. You see, you got to let the enemy know that he can respect you, and he doesn't respect a lot of people. And four people are like, cool, man, that's awesome, because the reality of it is this. Until you tell him to shut up, he's going to keep doing it. Hold your ground. And the armor is there so that you can hold your ground. You have not been left without pieces to fight with. He's given you the pieces. Specifically, the shield of faith that says it's there to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So what helps your cause? It's your faith level. If your faith level is not growing and expanding, then the enemy has access to poke holes in those areas of your life. That's why you have to rehearse the goodness of God, because you can appropriate the goodness of God until the areas that he helped plug, so that when the enemy tries to get in again, it's too healed now. It's too healed. So the stuff that he used to work on me doesn't work on me anymore. It's too healed. And so what he does now is he tries to look for other access points. And honestly, everyone has those points that if we're not careful, he can get in, and he can get in quickly. That's why the armor is there and the faith level is there and needs to be there so you can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. It's there for a reason. If you don't have your shield up, you're open game. Going into war without a shield or some sort of protection along with an offensive weapon is suicide. It's suicide. I have to go in with the tools if I'm going to be successful. I could die, yes. But nevertheless, I still have to fight in the fight. You understand that, right? Well, I could die. Well, yes, you could, but you still have to fight in the fight. Well, I just can't go because I might die. Absolutely. What's your life to you? Or who are you serving? Are you serving you? Or you're serving something bigger than you. So if you're concerned about the outcome, you'll never live free. You'll never live free. Because you'll always be concerned of whether or not God's going to put you in a position that could affect you or hurt you. And when you don't realize that, number one, your life's not your own, and that whatever position that he puts you in, he'll see you through, that you'll be able to trust him more when you get in those positions. I've never met a situation with God that he's never come through or given me the grace to come through. Never. If he led Jesus into the wilderness off the bat to be tempted, guess where you're going? You're going right in there with him. Why? So he fought the enemy during that time. Guess what you're going to do? You're going right in. You're going to fight the enemy. Because you have to be tested. You have to. In order so that you can be proven, and so faith can become perfected in your life so that you can actually testify of the goodness of God. And so when you say something, it carries weight and it works. It works. 2 weeks ago, Sharon, I don't know if you were here. You were here in Team Rally. We prayed for Bill Reed right here. Bill Reed had cancer, lung cancer. It came back. We prayed for him during service. He went back, and the doctor said, well, good news. It's not spreading. It stayed right there. And what he said was, we're not going to do anything with it because it's contained. Because the power of God does that. When you lay hands on someone and you believe, the belief is that they're going to be healed. That does not come unless you've been through some storms, that you realize the goodness of God and his faithfulness, so that when you lay hands on the sick, you believe that God said they're going to recover. Not they might, no, they will recover. And so it's going to be contained. It's contained. That's a win. So that's what we have to get to in our life. That's why you're proven. You're proven so that when you say something, you are a witness to the fact that I know God can do it because he did it for me. And the confidence that I have, I'm coming in agreement with you that it's going to work. Okay. That's why we do it. That's why we pray. That's why we release faith, because faith actually works when you work it. It works when you work it. But I have to take up the shield of faith. Not just that, but I also have to take up the sword of the Spirit, he said. Take it up. That means I got to use it. I got to use it. He's telling me about my past again. What's your response? I'm not that person anymore. What's your response? And? If you agree with him, he wins. If you disagree, you start to win. So what do you say about your life matters? What do you say about it? Agreement with the enemy brings you into submission to him. And the last time I checked, it said submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Not submit to him. So when I agree with his assessment, I am submitting. And when I submit to him, I lose every time. But when I change perspective and I submit to God, then I resist, he has to go. The question is, where are you submitting? We talk a lot about mind over matter. We talk a lot about how we need to win the battle in our thoughts. And where you're going to win it is here. You have to win it here. And here is tied to your emotional capacity. Let me give you an example. If you've ever been pushed or pressed against something, what's the first thing that fails? Your mental state says, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's just too much for me. Which trickles down to, I'm not enough. Emotionally, things start to get out of whack. And before you know it, you're crumbling under the pressure of what God's called you to come against. But because you're not winning it here, you're losing it in your life. Have you ever had a panic attack? You lost control. It's because here you lost it. And this is what I'm trying to help you understand is that when that comes on, and this is where we're going today, the enemy will continue to throw things at you that you think you have beaten or that you're not aware of. You're not aware of. And so anxiety and people deal with that and fear, preferably, he will use an aspect of that to get you all twisted up. But you have to remember where your help comes from when you feel it, because guess what? It's coming on. And you know when it's coming on. People have an understanding when you're in that position, and no one likes to talk about this, but when you feel anxiety coming on and trying to seize you, you have to make a decision right there that I'm going to oppose this and realize, no, I remember who God was. I'm going to stand up against this, because that very stance is going to help you beat it. Okay, put it this way. Do you get tired of going through the same cycle over and over again? Every time you come up against this one thing, you cannot get past it. Do you know why it keeps coming up? Because God wants you to beat it. It keeps coming up so you can oppose it. It's not going to go away, and God's not going to let it go away until you use the weapons that he's given you to fight up against it. Because he wants more than you for you to beat it. But when it comes up next time, you have to make a decision. I feel it, but my feelings are not going to dictate where I go with this. I feel it, but guess what? I'm standing in faith anyway, and I'm doing it. No, I remember God's goodness. I remember that he took me from here. No, I remember how far I've come. And every time you declare God's goodness, you make progress. That's how it works. But it's coming up. And for some of you, it's like this. Some of you, the enemy throws in like softballs. You see it coming. Oh, I see it. I see it. I know I should beat it. But you can't, because there's something about it that just intimidates you. For others, it's more machine gun-like. But either way, you have to come against it. And softball players, baseball players, and you know what I'm saying. Everybody's been to the cages before, right? And you got the one softball machine everybody likes to go in because you can actually swing. You don't feel bad about yourself, right? And then you go in the field. I can go in fast pitch. Ball's by you, you're trying to swing, and you're like, I get out. You know, the bat's made of cement, it doesn't work, that whole thing, right? So you're trying to figure out everything, but either way, you're having to face a pitch in life. There are pitches that are coming. There are pitches. And sometimes God will allow you to see the pitches coming. Hey, Toby, here it comes. I just want to let you know it's coming. What are you going to do with it? Okay, Toby, let's try it again. So other times, God will not allow you to see it. He'll just throw you in and say, okay, you got to fight. Because he knows any little way of escape you'll look for. And a lot of times God says, I'm going to throw you in it. I've woken up in warfare. And had to fight it there in bed. Well, no, he doesn't wait. It's like, I've had the coffee, I've been in the shower, it's 9, I feel ready for it, now bring it. No, I woke up in it. I woke up in it, and it's on, isn't it? It's on. Getting up, I have to get up, put on the armor, I got to get going. Because there's bullets flying everywhere. I'm thinking about stuff from the past. He's bringing everything. Don't think that people don't face stuff. Don't think that, this is just a song. Don't think it's coming. And sometimes I got to just stand in it. Because it's going to pass. It will pass. If I can just stand in it. And it passed, and okay, good. God's good. And I can move on. But you got to deal with it sometime. That's what turbulence is like on a plane. Sometimes it's just coming no matter what. You're just going to have to ride through it. And no matter of praying, fasting, or trying to cast it out, is going to make it go away. It's coming. So I'm here just to remind you today that the battle is coming. And it's coming specifically for you. It's very encouraging because someone is actually telling you about it. And two, he's giving you weapons to actually fight in it. He hasn't left you abandoned. Here are the weapons. So the next time the enemy comes in and says, you will always walk in lack. You will always walk in poverty. I beg to differ. So I remember the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And my God said he'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I thank you that when I need it, I'll have it. And until then, I'm going to be faithful to do what God's called me to do. And as I do it, God's going to promote me level by level. And every level that I go, God's going to teach me specific things that I need in order to win. And so when you change your perspective, guess what? God can help you move through things. You could rise quicker and you'll be able to defeat things. But if you stay down stuck and say, I'll always be like this, you will. Yeah. You will. I'll never beat it. Okay. And so what you have to get through is the aspect of feeling sorry for yourself because it actually came against you. Because some people get offended about what they go through. And it's easy to. Because what we do is we look to God as God should be fair. He's fair. No. The Bible says the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. So God is just. Every person has a grace that they walk through. Your life has been planned out. The God said there are works that I prepared long before we were even born for you to work in. So number one, I know how to get you there. I've already seen your life. And two, how are you going to compare your life to someone else? It's not fair. It's not because the grace is different. So I have to change my perspective and look at my life and say, you know what? Lord, thank you for the grace you've given me now to deal with it. And because I know it's sufficient for this situation and for me. And when you do that, God will help you change your perspective. But when you look at everybody else and say, I can't believe I'm not like them, why would you want to be like them? Do you not see yourself as enough in God's eyes and valued enough that if God created you that way, then there are going to be things that you're going to go through in your life that are just for you. I'm glad for the fact that I am who I am and that God has made me the way I am and that the situations that I've gone through has made me better. If I don't embrace that, I will fall. I will fall repeatedly because I will compare myself to someone else and what God has graced them to do, and I'll never measure up. But I have to be okay in my own shoes and what God has graced me to do because what God's called me to do, you're not going to be able to do. Okay, let's break it down further. God's faithful. So we've been in a situation before where you look and say, I wish I could do what they did. I wish. Until you realize what they had to go through to get that, you're like, I'll take where I'm at right now. I like this situation. This is good. You don't want to know the stuff. You don't want to know all of it. Because God has shielded you from stuff that probably would have killed you. Because his grace has kept you where you're at so that you can be sustained and learn what you have to learn so that God can eventually lift you up where you need to be. Because God never does things wasteful. Everything is done on purpose, and so he does it because it all falls according to his purpose and where he wants you. I can't believe it got sick. I believe God could heal. I can't believe I'm going through this. Well, if I look a little bit deeper, there's something that's being built inside of me that would have never been built anywhere else. Come on now. Come on now. You know that. You know it. Come on. This is... Come on. There's stuff inside of you that God has built in some of the darkest seasons of your life that would not have been built in the light because the materials were not ready. It was not nasty enough. Just wasn't. If God was looking for soft people, he would have made a soft gospel. Gospel is not soft. The way he does things is not soft. This is a messy thing we're in. It's messy. And so if you're expecting to serve God and it's going to be linear and we're going to go, Lord, it's going to be, man, cradle to the grave. It's going to be me and you all the way through. There's going to be nothing that's going to come at you. You are lying to yourself and you are believing in something that's not true whatsoever. You're going to go through seasons that God is going to take you through that are dark, and then he's going to show you things in those seasons that are necessary, not only for here, but for eternity. Because you forget that sometimes. You forget it. It's not just about here. He's getting you ready for eternity. So you don't even know what that looks like. God does. And so there are things that God has to build inside of you that are not just about 70 years worth. He's talking about eternity. We got to get stuff ready for eternity. And so God will let you stay in a little bit longer just so it sits. Just so it sits, so that when you speak about the goodness of God, no, he is good. I think God, what he's done is, over the last couple of years, is separated the wheat from the chaff, so much so that I'm looking for people who are genuine, that who are really going to hold with me and stand when the enemy comes in, because he's coming. And God is so good that he actually will tell you when the enemy's coming. Hey, listen, I just want to let you know, you're coming into a season right now, you better get ready. You better get ready. Okay, Lord, I get it. If he's throwing you some wisdom, take it. If God's dealing with you in a night season, it's good for you. If you're struggling to make sense of God, it's good for you. Because your faith level is being expanded. But you got to hold. How can you look back over your life? And this is what people get in trouble. They look back over the life and they try to make sense of their life. I'm going to try to make sense of it. You can't. There are too many things and variables that have happened in your life for you to try to make sense of it all. And this is what people try to do. That I want to try to make sense of it. You cannot make sense of it. There are certain things you're going to have to reconcile to yourself that I'm not God. He is. I can't make sense of it, but I can trust that he's going to work it out for my good. That's the type of God that we serve. And that's the type of God that you have to take into the fight. Because the enemy will come at you with, it doesn't make sense. And if you're not careful, you will agree with, you know what, it doesn't make sense. Why would he? And before you know it, you're moving away from the cross. Laying down your shield. Dropping your sword. Breastplate all crooked. Helmet. What is salvation anyway? And so you begin to question what's supposed to be an act of faith because you're trying to combat it with reason. And the enemy would love to reason you to death. And so you're trying to find all these reasons. Like, he's right. No, you're right. You know, if you were good, why did you? Was it fair? And you're in a battle on whether or not you're going to reason your way right out of a relationship with the Lord, or you're going to fight your way toward the cross and toward your future. And people get stuck right there. That's why it's the helmet of salvation. I don't get it all, but I'm receiving it by grace. Thank you, Jesus, that you did it. Thank you that you're good. And the more I rehearse God's goodness, guess what? Shield comes back up. You know, you have been good. Holy Spirit gives you strength to keep going. Sword comes back up. You straighten your breastplate back out. Man, you tie your shoes. Because as you move in faith, guess what? It starts to work. But anytime you start to regress, things come undone. And we have a lot of people walking around, shoelaces untied, trying to swing a sword that's not working because they're not even working with sober judgment. They're compromised on truth. They're trying to figure out who Jesus is. And you can't fight a fight of faith with reason. It just doesn't work. You're trying to like, yeah, it's wrong. And you're walking around just swinging at things that don't even work. You know how you're swinging at stuff. There are people, you're trying to swing at stuff and it's not even working. Because you don't even know what you're swinging at. Because you're so screwed up in your mind that you can't get it right. And once this isn't right, try it. Try it for a week. Lord, just back up a little bit. There's a war in your mind that's going on right now that has to be won. And when that's won, you see the target. You know what you're fighting for, and you can swing right. So when the enemy comes in, you know what you're actually fighting. But the problem is right now, there are so many bullet holes in people. So many areas that he's got in that people are bleeding out. You don't think so? I just want you to look at some of the people you've known over the last couple of years who are now inclusive. And some of you might be. Oh, I'm not. I just love people. And what we do is now, well, we're loving to the point of now we're just loving and compromise. Well, it's all good. God's good. And it's a struggle now. It's a struggle. Because what we should be doing is walking in power, but we're not walking in power. We're not. We're walking, we're just flailing at stuff. And I can't hold what I don't hold. You understand that? I can't hold what I don't hold. I really don't believe this thing. This is a thought problem. I really don't believe it. So why should I even try? Good point. But what will happen if you don't try? I want you to think, and let's just get real honest in here. I want you to think, even in the times when you doubted God, isn't that the best option? Rationally, when you think about it, it probably is. Even if you took faith out of the equation, take it out. Is he worth following even when I don't see him, even when I don't feel him? Is it worth me putting faith in someone I can't see in the off chance that he might be real? Yeah. That's you're hoping against hope. That's what people do. I don't see it, but guess what? I'm going to hope. There are times in my life, guys, where I didn't feel God whatsoever. It took all of me just to hope that he was good. And guess what? I found out. He was good. And so when I did that, it helped straighten out things in my life. And I was able to tie my shoes. The breastplate was strong. My head was right. Because when I'm right, I'm right. And so that's the fight to get you off kilter. Because he knows that if you ever get aligned, you're unstoppable. There's no stopping you. If you can ever get your thoughts in control, if you can ever get your reasoning in control, if you can ever get your faith level where it needs to be, you're unstoppable. Faith upon faith. All that stuff the enemy knows, but he's coming after stuff. Side note, you might be saying, how do you know all this? It's a long story. I want to encourage you, if you've never read the Screwtape Letters from C.S. Lewis, I encourage you to read it. It will give you an account of what the enemy's agenda is against you and how he sees it. You don't think so? Ask someone who's read it. And what he does in order to try to screw with you. I don't know if he meant to make that tile, but I'll tell you what it is. He screws with you. So whatever it is, that's, as a side note, do it, because it'll help you, give you an understanding into the supernatural according to that way. And if you don't think that's real, it's real. Why do you think some of the thoughts you think? Why do you think you're pulled away in some of the directions you're pulled away in? Because there are things that are behind you that have influenced that. There are things that are behind you that are influencing your thoughts. There are things that are behind you that are influenced what you do. Have you ever been messed with? You know what it feels like? Is there anybody in here who's been messed with? No. Like two people. What are we doing? Why are we here? Thank you, Fabio. I felt like somebody told me something once. Okay. Yeah. I mean, nobody. What are we doing? I mean, that's a problem. When you talk to people and say, listen, what's going on with you? And they really can't give you a testimony. They can't give you nothing. There's no substance there. There's nothing. And you can tell there's no substance there. I'm concerned when I hear stuff about that like that. Like, you've never been bothered. We're in the wrong place. Like, you've never been challenged in your faith. Like, you've never made waves. Like, you've never made trouble. Like, you've never pissed anybody off. Never in your life. Like you've never made the enemy like mad. Like, you've never felt the enemy's attack again. Like, you never have. Like, never. Okay, well, see me after. Like, there's nothing inside of you right now where it's like, yeah, I can recount some of the seasons of my life. But you got to hold. Why? Because tomorrow's coming. And tomorrow is going to bring not only a host of new things, but just a reminder of some of the old. It'll never change. Yeah, I hear you. But I disagree with that assessment. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. This will be a different week. I will see God do tremendous things this week, because I'm in a new season. So I'm declaring to him, I don't know what season you're in, I'm in a new one. So I will see God do new things this week, because he already told me I'm in a new season. You can stay there. And you don't come in here, because we're going to have work. There's going to be stuff that's going to go on if you come here. See, that's the thing. You cross this boundary, then now it's game. But the enemy's not afraid of a lot of people. Who's had friends in here, and you don't have to raise your hand, you've had friends in here that who've had your back during some tough times, difficult times, and listen, you knew that if you got in a tussle, they were right in with you. The reason why we believe in community here is because of the power of being in community and what that looks like when someone gets in a fight. There are other people that are around them, pushing them on to get past that part. That's why community is important. It's not just about a local body. It's not about, well, I got a church. It's about what God's doing in the body, and about where God places you and the influence that you have around other believers and pushing them on so that they can do good works and getting past some of the stuff. And so that's why community is so important, to be able to drag people with you and say, no, I'm going to help you get through this because I know God's good. Because if you're not careful, you can start losing people. And God has placed you there to help resuscitate them. But sometimes you gotta hold them. God said, this is not about you this season. I just need to hold them. Hold them. So you may not like where you're at, but God has placed you there for a reason. Hold. Stay there. Because when the season is up, God will move you where you need to go, but there's a reason why. You might be holding more than you think by being there. You just don't see it because you see in part, but you're holding some stuff up. Just keep doing what you're doing, because there are people who are being influenced and they're being affected. Stay up in it. Stay up in it. Come on now. Ben, come on up here if you will. So what does that look like for me going forward? It's simple. I got to continue to hold. I got to continue to push. I got to continue to put my shield up, take my sword up. I got to do it. I like wartime stuff. I like just the history of it. I like the perspective of it because we were born in war. So the fact that we try to look back and say, well, I don't really want to look at that because I can't face that. The reality of it is that it was here before you got here. And that war broke out in heaven even before you were here. When God threw the devil out. So you were in a spiritual warfare. You're there. And one of the things you begin to look at when you look at the times in history of how ridiculous some of the things that we did when we were in war. Like I look at the colonial times and it was a ridiculous way to commit suicide. Ridiculous, where it's like, okay, pick your gun up. Now it's your turn to shoot. Put your gun down. And as you're reloading, they're fighting at you. It's like respect. I'm gonna give you time to shoot me. And then I will do the same to you. And then I'll bid you adieu as you bid me adieu as we go to our death. It's just a wonderful way to die, isn't it? No. Pick up the sword, find a bunker, get down where you need to get and start picking people off. This is war. It's messy. It's messy. I'm not here to make friends. And the problem is that we want everybody to be a friend. I want you to be my friend. Love me. I love me. This is the way I feel today. Just love me. I want to be a horse. Love me today. Okay? Love me. We want everybody to just do it. Please. Love me. And what we're doing is we're lying to ourselves and you're killing yourself. You're killing yourself because you don't know truth. It's messy. That means you're going to have to work some stuff out. There's going to be tears. There's going to be tension. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be frustration. You will curse. You will think things. It's messy. You're being transformed. Your mind is being transformed. Your spirit is being engaged. You're in something that's beyond you. You got to take up the armor, the full armor. He's coming for you. He's coming. He's coming. I'm not going to die out. I don't want to die out for something that I did when I was six. That he reminds me of that I've already beaten. What a travesty to get on my deathbed and look back and say, I couldn't have got over that. We can get over it. I was abused. Who wasn't? I'm sorry. We get so compartmentalized where it's like, I was this. You know what? So were they. But guess what? They're praising God. They're lifting up their hands because God's been good. God took them out. They have an anointing on their life right now. God has freed them. God is using them. God is speaking life to them. People are being freed every time they come in contact with them. Why? Because God has set them free. They allow God to get in and do the work, and they release their accuser. They release the person who did it to them. And they're like, you know what? I'm not living the rest of my life for something that you did. Who cares? Come on. It doesn't matter. Let's all stand on our feet. There are whole families being slaughtered. Read the Old Testament. Families just being slaughtered for sin. Just being slaughtered. Disobedience resulting in sin, not only sin, but also death. God said, I don't want anything to do with it. You're done. Hard stuff. God asking people to do hard stuff. Prophesy to this city. I'm going to destroy it. I need you to prophesy to it. I'm trying to change some stuff, so I need you to get in there and just use your influence for the good. That's what I'm looking for. And stop being concerned about what everybody else is going to say about you. Just get in there and do it. And we get so concerned about whether or not people are going to like us or not. When was that ever an issue? Or should have been an issue? When did that ever come in, Sharon? When? It came in young. And what the enemy does, he plays on that. Not going to like you, man. Eventually, you're going to have to agree with it and say, so what? They lost their lives. You know, 55 million people lost their life in World War II. 55 million people in World War II. Included in that were over 6 million Jews, homosexuals, people who were not German. You don't have it bad. Take a look at the gas chamber online, how that looked. World War II. Find perspective with young women who were raped in broad daylight by Germans. Just because. But also who have survived to tell the story. You know, God lets you live so you can tell the story. You have a responsibility to go through healing so you can tell the story. I don't like what happened, but guess what? Thank you, Lord, that there's healing there so that I can minister out of it. And just be okay with the fact that your life is not perfect. It never will be. There are stuff that you've gone through that you don't tell anybody about, and that's okay. It's not perfect, but it's His story, and God's using it because it's messy. He didn't want perfect. He's perfect. He perfects. It's about Him. And so you're able to live life differently when you realize that. There are people in this world who are going through some hard stuff, and guess who He's going to use in order to reach them? You. You. I didn't understand it back then, but I understand it now. God is used. This is why I'm here. It's because of you. Because it's not easy living life. There are people going through traumatic experiences and things they don't even talk about. You have it good here. And God is sending you as a healing agent to say, hey, listen, there is hope for the brokenhearted. This is why Jesus came. Why? Because sin is messy. Life is messy. You have to be willing to play, get dirty. Why? Because the enemy plays dirty, hits below the belt. I'm about to close with, you know, when you get into a fight, it's a real fight, you're not concerned with playing fair in the fight. I'm concerned about winning. I'm gonna do what I can to win this thing. The enemy is not concerned about what he does to you. The Lord gives, by the way, the Lord gives him permission, read the Bible. Two, your response is, all right, if we're going to fight like this, let's fight like that. But you're going to have to go into some places, some dark places, and fight. I want healing. It's going to hurt. I want purpose. There will be pressure. I want to be like Jesus. Have a great time. Every person in this room, Lord, who's holding, they're holding. They're on the mountain. They're on the field, Lord. They're in battle right now. They're seeing it. There are bullets flying over their heads. There are things that are coming at them they probably never experienced before, but I pray right now that they would realize what they've been given in you. I thank you for the strength for them to take up that armor. Thank you, God, that you saved us. You've called us. You made us righteous. We can walk in truth, God, because of what you've done. You've given us a shield. God, we thank you. You've given us a sword, and you've given us those shoes so that we can run with. Thank you, God, that those shoes bring with it good news. And God, I know the enemy is after those shoes in this house, after people who have the good news of the gospel. I pray, God, as they go out and present that good news and as their influencers, God, help them to take up that sword and that shield. God, give them the strength they need to fight. Help them to get down. Thank you, the Spirit of God is evident in their life and working in their life to move Move them in and out of situations. Give them the grace to stand, even struggle. Thank you for the tension. God, thank you for the tension in this house, because we know that we're becoming more like you. Thank you, God, for getting people over themselves. Thank you for people just healing and getting in a position where they're in right standing with you again. Lord, I pray in this house that you would give people the ability just to forgive you. Right there. So, and maybe that's what it is for you. You just need to forgive God for the process that he's had you in. Lord, I pray as they go home, you would give them the power to release you, to do what you have to do, to recognize that you're still good and that you're still coming after them. And the fact that they're still here, it's the fact that you're still good, and that your goodness is still here, and that your mercy is still good, and that your love is still good, and that your compassion does not fail. And I thank you, God, that you still have a good plan and a good purpose, even in all the situations and all the wanderings. God, help people to continue to release you, to do what you have to do. Help us, God, to do what we have to do, to hold where we're at, to continue to move forward. And I thank you for your goodness and your grace in Jesus' name.